morning.
Got that part right.
Well done. Thank you. Thank you very much. Today is Tuesday, May the 5th. The recognition day of the Guacamole Brothers.
Yeah. It's a good day.
Yeah. Avocados away. 128th day of the new year. Joining us this It's after breakfast.
Yeah.
Bill McCauley.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah. Okay. I only thought I had two screw-ups yesterday. You said, no, there were so many, but you did them so smoothly, we know that you didn't remember or recognize them.
Well, that's comforting.
We'll do the purge. We'll do the purge. 15 years takes a little bit of time.
Yeah. Well, it's back to the future. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Rich, too. Mm-hmm. I think you're the only one that wasn't here.
Well, I am pretty young.
Yeah, just a twinkle, I know. Yeah. So, but you do come prepared with something that has a really long word on the top of it.
Yeah. Well, I thought we'd talk a little bit about some of the identity theft issues that are out there. It's creating some problems for some taxpayers. And as the issue gets to be more pervasive, the problems get to be bigger and affecting more people.
So if you get that phone call from the IRS saying you forgot to put your Social Security number down, maybe not the case. We'll talk about other things you can be on the lookout for when we come back. Oh, that's right. Hi, we're back.
Yeah, that was fast.
No, we don't have an intro segment anymore.
Really?
Yeah, we just melded into this.
Well, that's nice.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's why there was panic on the other side.
That was kind of nice, though.
What is he doing? Well, this also helps to answer the question, is this show live or not?
Yes.
I think it's brutally live this morning.
Yeah.
So what is identity theft? There's got to be a legal definition of it.
Well, it could take a lot of forms. I mean, the one that I deal mostly with is the tax fraud, but there are a number of ways that we see identity theft occurring, and usually it involves someone else obviously using the identity of the person that is without their permission for means that are to benefit the third party, not the person who's being whose identity is being stolen.
Dr. Nefarious.
Yeah. So the challenge is that we have now so many places we need to be more careful with. And then there's places that we can exercise a lot of caution, do everything right, and we can still have problems. And that's what we're seeing on the tax side.
So what are the areas of information that these folks are looking for? Obviously, Social Security number is one of them. Because what I have seen is so much of this stuff is available if you know where to search and how to do those elements in the internet that you can pretty much get 95% of what you're looking for through various means.
Well, I'm not personally an expert on how to steal someone's identity, so I wouldn't want to imply any level of expertise or competence in that area. Unfortunately, someone who's motivated to try to garner information about you, either in your work capacity or information that would impact the tax return, they can do that through a number of means. There is information in the public domain. There are places where data has been stolen and it is made available to people, so they're able to access and obtain information about groups of people. And you also see efforts made that are pretty concerted, more of a social engineering type activity where you receive a phone call and say somebody's trying to get in from illicit responses from you. And sometimes that's just additional pieces of information that they're trying to get to get a more complete picture of you that comes from, and they've already gotten some from your Facebook account, or they've gotten it from some other information that might be freely available on the web.
There was one, and I forget who the product was, but somebody Facebooking pictures from Europe. Mm. As like and it went bang, you're not at home. Yeah. And so anybody, I mean, just that simple. So maybe even backing it down a couple more notches, Bill, how do they choose who they want to go after?
Well, I think...
Or who's the prime target?
Well, it depends. I mean, have you gotten a phone call from the IRS lately? I have.
Okay, fine.
No, I got a phone call at home from the IRS. I got a message on my answering machine telling me that they're going to sue me and that it's my last chance and I need to call this number to be able to avoid ending up in court with the IRS.
Now, who else got one of those and knew what they... Oh, Maggot was talking about with his cell phone, the Apple phone, that he mm-hmm. needed to respond in a certain time, and he just played it out because he knew that they were full of hot air.
Unfortunately, they called when I was at work.
Oh, you didn't get a play?
Doing tax stuff. So, my first question would be, I've kind of played it through in my head, how would I respond to it? But if I did have that phone call, I think the first question I would ask is say, you know, from the information you have about you clearly can see my occupation, and what is that? And I think that'd be a great question to ask.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:20.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. That was a dramatic pause because I got one right. It was only a little dribbler in front of the plate, but I had it. I made contact. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, the concept with identity theft, do we really know what people are looking for? Because as you said, you know, it kind of seems like different angles, different approaches, different people, different tacks. Are they all going for the same information? Or are they going for different types of information today versus 10, 12 years ago?
They're doing different things, and it continues to change. And basically, the identity thieves are looking for the low-hanging fruit. And when they exhaust all that low-hanging fruit, they move to the next lowest-hanging fruit, and they attempt to farm that, if you will. And it becomes, you know, it's a challenge to stay ahead of people who think this way because they're constantly looking for you almost wonder what would happen if somebody who thinks this way would actually do something productive. What would our society look like if we had all the people who are spending their time and energy trying to steal from other people would actually do something productive? The U.S. productivity would go off the charts.
So what is the low-hanging fruit? Where are the places most people aren't paying attention?
Well, it's right now, there's a lot of credit card fraud, debit card fraud. So that has been the easiest from a banking type perspective. That's been the easiest way that you've seen that there's been a large number blocks of numbers stolen. I don't know if you have. I've had my debit card replaced a couple times. One time, I actually had it replaced before I got the replacement. So, and that was all. That wasn't.
That wasn't on your end.
That was all on the Visa end. And so, you're seeing, you know, we've all heard about Home Depot and other of these organizations that have had these challenges. And Home Depot is not alone. There have been a number of organizations that have been hit.
Well, Target was the biggie.
Yep.
Also last fall, yep. Winter. So these guys are hacking in and getting into the databases?
They are. They're finding ways to get into the databases.
So it's not you using it at the local grocery store, tapping it in, somebody looking over your shoulder. Because I've never figured out okay, well, great, so they got part of it, but how are they going to get the rest of it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, typically that's not the case, although there have been places where thieves have put readers on top of the card device that goes in it, like ATM machine. So they're actually swiping the card as you're pushing it in to swipe it, because they've put a reader on the outside of it. So I think you ought to ask questions if you go to your financial institution and the ATM looks different. I did that. I went out when the ATM changed at Redwood Capital Bank, which is kitty corner from my office. I walked in, and before I used it, and said,
"Hey,
what's the deal?" And they said, "Oh yeah, we changed it." I said, "Okay, just thought I'd ask, because there are, or if you see a little piece of plastic, it's probably the same color that's been put on the ATM. Sometimes that somebody's got is reading card numbers."
Yeah, so
I don't think we've seen a lot of that here, but we've seen it in other areas.
Wasn't there a big scare a couple years ago, or a big frequency, I guess, of like waiters and waitresses having something like underneath their sleeve, and, mm-hmm. and when they would do the, it would register the electronic when they swipe the card, and mm-hmm. you know, when they started, you know, tear up the carbon. I don't even know if there is carbon anymore.
Yeah, it depends. You know,
some of those types of things where you're not thinking that you're in that situation, you kind of almost always need to be thinking.
Yeah, you do, and that's one of the reasons why using a debit card in some of those places can be a bad idea. The challenge with a credit card, if you've got if someone has stolen your card, your liability is limited. With your debit card, you may still have the same limited liability. The problem is, meanwhile, they've taken the money out of your bank account. So if somebody has made charges on your credit card, and you want to challenge those, you can do that, and you can still have a functional credit card that'll work. And your bank account hasn't been depleted. But so be very, we should all be careful with our debit cards as to at least thinking about when and where we use them. I think most of the things, you go into the local market and use your debit card, that's probably, your exposure is probably very small. But if you start doing things, I wouldn't use a debit card for online traffic, shopping for anything. I will use a credit card, but I also prefer to spend my money locally. So most I don't do a lot of online shopping. But the point is, we need to be smart. We need to be careful. Recently the IRS has dealt with some major problems in and it's ongoing with tax filing, and it's created a number of problems that people are having to. They're finding that it's very difficult to get answers once somebody else has filed on their account, and that's the real problem we're seeing, where people will actually have filed a tax return on their behalf, and that becomes really problematic. And we can
sometimes that's a good thing, but not this case.
No, it is not. It's okay. Not a good thing at all.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning.
Nicely done.
Doubled up. Like that? Doubled that
two
up.
Two mornings.
Yeah, all right. The ratio's climbing step by step. Yeah. Oh, this concept, Bill, of fraud, and certainly you're sensitive on the taxpaying side, because that's where you get to play. But it's it's nothing new. It's nothing that hasn't been going on for a long, long time. What's brought it to the surface now?
Well, I just think it's the fact that it's so pervasive. You look and see so many instances. If you watch the news, you're constantly seeing some report of somebody perpetrating a fraud. And now we've got the IRS is telling us that for 2013 there was $5.8 billion in refunds paid out that were based on fraudulent tax returns. $5.8 billion with a B. And they said that they stopped, I think, three times that much. So anyway, if you look at it, you're saying but this starts to create a problem, a cascading problem with the confidence in the tax filing system. And that's not good when we have a voluntary compliance system, when people start believing that the government doesn't have an effective backdoor for tax receipts. I mean, none of us are too thrilled with writing checks or having amounts withheld from our checks if we think that the government is just going to let other people come and steal it. So...
Unofficially,
yeah. that's what we're doing right now. And if you had to write a check for $500 at April 15th, and you find out $5.8 billion, which is a lot of money. I mean, I know it sounds
even
like,
for the federal government, yeah, that's
a lot of money. That is a lot of money, and that's what they're saying. And that was 2013, so I'm guessing 2014 is going to end up having been worse because the problem has been snowballing.
And they've gotten a little bit smarter in getting it.
Yeah, and I mean the IRS is trying, but the IRS is, they've had to devote a lot of their resources to the Affordable Care Act administration, and the audit rate is very, very low. Not that you would catch any of this in an audit. It's all, I mean, this fraud stuff is caught when the legitimate person goes to file their tax return, and finds out that there's already a tax return been filed.
So if I mailed in, I know that's dinosaur style.
Yeah.
Okay, but if I mailed in, how do I know? Will I get a phone call or will I get something from the IRS that is official versus some of these guys who are calling and sending you things and it looks official but it's not?
The IRS typically doesn't contact anybody by telephone first. The first point of contact is always in correspondence. So
even if you have a preparer,
so as an example, if your preparer's filed your return and you get a call from somebody saying you didn't do this or you didn't do that, and we're gonna all that you can ignore, just hang up the phone and
you don't
go on
play?
About your life or play.
Okay,
that's another option.
But realize that
that's another option. I would play. If I ever got a chance. The problem is they call during the day when I work. So, and they call at my home. So, they left the message.
Well, I would think if they called the front office and it said XYZ Certified Public Accountants or CPA, they probably would hang up before you got a chance to play.
Yeah.
At least I would like to think that they had that kind of intelligence.
Right. So the challenge is that the way this works is that somehow, by hook or by crook, thieves have gotten enough information, and basically what they need is your social security number and your names, and they can pretty much file a tax return for you. And what happens is the thieves get, if they can get your social security number and your name, they can file a tax return on your behalf, and they can do it. And if they file before you, the IRS really doesn't have an adequate error checking system to determine that it's not an accurate return. If somebody's clever enough in doing that, to be able to have put together a return that seems credible, the IRS will issue the refund. And then what happens is you go to file later and you're filing a tax return using the same address you've always have, and they come back and say, this is wrong because you've already filed. Well, and you get a letter to that effect. You've already filed your return. We've already processed your return. And then it starts a difficult dance trying to get enough information to be able to understand what's happened to you and try to get your tax filing done protected.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45, final couple minutes with the show. Bill, so if you find out that you've been subject to some fraud, what's the impact to you? How do you get out of it? How do you try to square things up? Or is this something an individual can do, or should they go find somebody to help them out?
Well, it depends on what kind of an issue you have. I'm most familiar with tax filing fraud, and what ends up happening is, as I mentioned before, a person gets a notice. What we've seen is the preponderance of the fraudulent returns, according to the IRS, and my understanding, have come through third-party tax packages such as, I'm going to use a name.
Oh, really? The off-the-shelf guys?
Yeah.
And so all of the brands
so you
know
think,
and love?
If you think of the one that probably comes immediately to mind, they probably have the biggest problem. And so what's happening is that the reason for that is it's not going through a preparer, because a preparer is going to go to jail for doing that. The fraud, for the most part, although there have been a few preparers who've gone to jail, but, I mean, for the most part, you're not going to see that. It's easy for people to go out and get popular tax package A, put it on your computer at home, and if you've got social security numbers and you've got some sophistication, you can start filing tax returns and claiming refunds. And you really only need, as I mentioned before, you know, if you know somebody's name and their social security
number. This isn't embedded in the software itself. This is people using the software to produce the
exactly. People
filing.
Use the software. It's out there and it's available. You know, there are some electronic signatures, I'm sure, that are there, and I'm not sure if the IRS is getting some sophistication. I don't think they're getting a lot of it because they aren't catching very much of it. But it's going to have to be dealt with. Now, if you get a notice, you need to immediately contact the IRS and try to – now, interestingly, they won't give you a copy of the false return, which to me is unconscionable. The IRS has actually issued guidance indicating that you know, but they're citing privacy concerns that they don't give you the falsely filed return in your name. Now, I think that is I think that is incredibly thin logic. But that's where the IRS mostly is right now. Ultimately, you can get it, but it's very difficult. In addition, if you contact that third party tax preparer. They tell you we'll give it to you, but they make it pretty difficult. And so in some cases, people have some horror stories of trying to go through that third-party tax software package to get the copy or to get information about the falsely filed return, and that's been very difficult to get. But if you listen to their spokesperson says, oh, yeah, we'll take good care of you. So there's a disconnect there. So, but you want to make sure you get on top of this and do it promptly. You want to let the IRS know. Ultimately, the IRS will solve the problem. They will issue you a PIN, which will mean nobody else a PIN number, which will mean nobody else in the next few years will be able to file a return without knowing that PIN number. And that shuts the gate for you. It doesn't shut the gate for the rest of us.
Yeah, for the next guy.
Yeah. And so that's the problem. But that's the immediate action plan is to contact the IRS and start that process.
Does this happen the same level at the state?
We're not getting that data, so the states aren't talking about it. The challenge with individual income tax returns is that the IRS is issuing refunds before they've received the W-2s from the employers. So if you know enough information about an employer, you can dummy up a W-2 and include that information with your electronic file, and the IRS will issue it. I think the states are doing the same thing. So I think you have some of the same problems with the states, and I'm not aware of one way or another whether any of them have been more effective in closing the gate on that.
I would think the states that one charge income tax and two, charge the highest levels of income tax are probably those that are most likely to see this kind of activity.
Yeah, I think that's likely the case. I do think, you know, the grail is really pointed at the holy grail is that federal tax refund, because that's where you can get the most money the quickest, and that's I think where thieves are focused.
Well, stay tuned for an update next month, huh?
You betcha. In the morning.
In the morning. It's in the morning. Did you know that?
It's in the morning, yes.
We've been Talking Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.